another episode ready to go. They're gonna talk about the good and the trash and anything in between. Cherishing make-believe, get ready for Halloween. It's the Horror Show. I know you miss those guys. Tune in and find out what's on their list tonight. They butcher and dissect, take apart and mutilate. Listen to your two favorite brainiacs communicate. It's the Horror Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Horror Show. The show dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not-so-favorite horror movies and other horror-related events. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
Hello, Joe.
What's going on?
Nothing. I feel like I'm forgetting something when we started the show. I'm looking. Everything's recording, so I think we're good. What's going on? We got all of our t-shirts are out. So if you pre-ordered those, thank you all. You should be seeing those soon.
People are posting their pictures with them. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for grabbing them.
And a little bit of feedback from The Shining, but not a lot because we are somehow recording this before the episode comes out, which is
crazy. Everything's all fucked up. Yeah.
So if you send us something about this, we can talk about it. We'll talk about it in the third episode.
In May.
So do send us what you thought. Because we did get some interesting messages here. Oh, also, I do want to highlight Eddie Green, I think is his name. He messaged us on Instagram about our April Fool's thing. It was a really nice April Fool's thing about the April Fool's. And he was like, hey, joke's on you. That's why I listen to the fucking show. So it's like I didn't even fucking notice. And also,
yeah, actually, oh, yeah, there's a couple like that. It was like, it wasn't too off course for us and they enjoyed it anyways. So.
Yeah. Lexi said, what did she was like, she got like halfway through. Cause I was like, you should listen to this episode. She was like, why? I was like, just listen. And she got halfway through and she was like, what am I like waiting for? And I was like, well, we didn't talk about the movie. And she was like, oh, I honestly didn't even notice. Like, oh, okay. Cool. So anyway, so I wanted to just shout him out. We also got an email from a listener, Addie, who it was very nice. It was about The Shining, but particularly our observation of Danny. And we were a little tough on Danny. The actor in this, rightfully so. I don't know. But she sends us this message and she says, this kid, I had a similar thought about it, particularly about Danny, who I couldn't stand. This kid was in a Disney commercial at the time that drove me insane and was played constantly. And when I found out who was playing Danny, I knew it would be tragic. I was like, and she found a link to the Disney trailer, and I'm going to play it for the video. I don't know if I'll cut this out of the show. Probably not. Maybe. We'll find out. I'm going to play this because this is weird.
Up right now?
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now. Might edit it out for the audio version, but we'll leave it in for Patreon video version. And then we also, on the subject of, and that was from Addie. Thank you, Addie. On the subject of that kid, somebody on Patreon might have said he's like a men's rights activist now. Did you read that?
I saw that message come through earlier. What's his name? Cortland Mead?
Yeah. I've heard the kid is like a men's rights activist now or some shit, but I haven't looked into it. Which would be hilarious. And also, he fucking looks like it, so. Would track. It tracks. It tracks for me.
Anyway. When you type in his name, somebody made a whole page or whole account wishing him a happy 36th birthday, which is fucking nuts.
I wonder he's younger than us. That's fucking weird. All right. Well, that's that. This week, wait, do we have anything else? No, that's it. That's it for the house cleanup. Thank you all for reaching out. And we look forward to hearing from more of you, excuse me, once this episode actually hits.
This kid's fucking face in this picture.
Let's see what Joe's got in the chat here. Dude. Cortland Mead, this guy, that is a men's activist right there if I've ever seen him.
I can't find any information that he's actually a men's activist.
Oh well.
But based off those glasses, you might be.
That's that. Cortland Mead, he plays Danny. He'll be back in this episode and next episode. Unfortunately.
Oh, good. So we left off episode, we left off episode one, you know, pretty, not high on it, but we enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah. We were excited for what's to come.
How do you feel about episode two?
So we didn't do an exercise at all. Actually, last time we talked last time about, and this is going to partially be my answer to this. Last time I was like, I wonder where this lines up with the movie time-wise at the end of the first episode. Where do we end in the movie? So I went into the movie and took a gander. The first episode was kind of hard to... I mean, they were both kind of hard to track just because they're so different and there's so much stuff not in them and stuff. The first movie was like somehow... like 30 to 40 minutes into the movie was the end of the first episode. And then this one is only, you're only about an hour in. So the first episode of this was about 30 to 40 minutes of the Stanley Kubrick film. This one, maybe 15, 20 minutes max of the movie. So I think it shows because
I would agree with that.
It's a lot of, oh man, it's weird. Things are happening, but it's the same thing over and over again for an hour and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't as high on this one as I was. So I thought, I still think episode one did a fine job setting it up. Like you just said, It's part two of an episode. You could have progressed the story a little bit more, and then three could have just hammered home the climax, right?
They really drew. I realized, and I wrote this down actually later in my notes, but they needed to cut 20 minutes off of each episode, and things would have been, it would have been perfect. 3 hours, you're fine. The hour and a half, this one is. The first one was stretched a little bit, but it was fine. This one felt really stretched because it was just the same thing over and over again. And not,
it was just Jack getting mad, you know, in different rooms.
My favorite thing about this, I can't wait to talk about Jack in this. Because also, Jack doesn't have like a real, like, okay, you have an hour and a half, right, to build. Because you're not going to show anything else, clearly. We learned this. You don't show us anything else. So you had an hour and a half to actually, like, build Jack's descent. And they don't. They don't at all, actually. It's very steady from beginning to end. Maybe he gets a little crazier at the end, but I don't know.
the radio and he smashes it, but I agree with your point. It was pretty steady. It was not even like a steady decline. It was just like a steady.
Yeah. Because as we mentioned, he's not doing what, you know, Stephen King complained about in the movie. He's not normal when he gets there, and he's not a good guy. He's a fucking maniac.
He's a grade A asshole.
Dude, and it comes out in this because when he's possessed, he might actually be more empathetic when he's like under the control of the house.
I agree because there's a point when he actually didn't do something wrong, and his response is just like, well, it just hurts to get accused. And the way he delivers it. Also, Danny's gift in this movie, it fucking sucks. It fucking sucks. When the mom is talking to Danny, it's like, use your gift to tell me if your dad's been drinking again. And he's like, well, he would sure like to have a cold one, but he's not.
Also, it's bizarre because he can read minds, right? So he knows everything. And the cold one comment was off-putting because he can read minds, but he's still pretending like he doesn't know fucking anything. Right. Like he continues to they're talking about Jack's drinking. He's acknowledging Jack's drinking. He's saying things like Daddy wants a cold one. And then later in the episode, when it comes up, he's like, Daddy, you're not doing the bad stuff again, are you? And you're like, what's making me nuts. Kid, you could read his mind.
Dude, and also, so in this episode, we get the infamous lady in the bathtub scene. Danny escapes. The fuck was that? Did you hear that noise?
No.
Danny escapes and then stands directly, like he just steps outside of the door and stands directly there so he can be immediately pulled back in.
Danny's an asshole in this. He really is. One thing, this TV, why can't I speak? This miniseries had a crazy rating on TV, which is fun. So I talked about this last time. It had a crazy rating, so I went in and kind of looked through other things that were rated, because ratings are so different now with streaming and everything. And so ratings were really high back then, but I was very curious. So the first part of The Shining garnered 19.8 million viewers, ranking 12th for the week. The second part was also ranked 12th for the week with 18.3. The third part was 18.2 million. Huge numbers. Huge numbers. So I was like, okay, what does that mean in 1997? Okay. That puts it in like rarefied air at the time for numbers. You're talking about up there, which by the way, let's play this first. 1997. Hang on. Let me go there. September 1997 through May 1998. What do you think are the top four rated TV broadcasts?
97, 98?
Yeah.
Seinfeld?
Number one, yep.
Home Improvement?
Dude, Home Improvement is low. Oh, I guess it's not that low. Home Improvement's 10. It was 9 the year before.
Okay. Friends?
Friends is number 4. You're good. I would not even be able to guess any of these fucking things. I don't know anything. The rest of them, you're not going to fucking guess. Well, you might be able to guess one more if you have one in mind.
Roseanne?
No. ER. ER was the one I thought you might be able to get. ER was 2. Veronica's Closet was 3.
Oh, wow.
Forgot about that fucking movie.
Yeah.
Touched by an Angel, 5. Monday Night Football, 6. Which, fun fact, since like 2019, the only broadcasts that are ranked are football games, period. There's like no TV show in between. Something called Union Square, 60 Minutes, CBS Sunday Movie. Can you imagine that? That ranks 9. People were like, gotta tune into the fucking movie.
Yeah.
The free movie.
Like you said, there's no streaming. So that's for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You didn't have to go to the Blockbuster. Just tune in Sunday. It was a big deal.
That's fucking crazy. X-Files was 11. Just Shoot Me, 12. Drew Carey, 13. I'll stop reading these off. But anyway, so that's a picture of what it was. So this would put this rating, for let's just go with the first one, 19.8, puts it in 8th place in the ratings at 19 million. Seinfeld had 34.1 million viewers. 34.1. Now let's, for comparison for everyone, in 2018, 2019, the highest rated show, not football, was The Big Bang Theory with a 10.6.
So Seinfeld had 20 million more.
Yeah. And in 2022, 2023, The Shining had 1 million more than the number one broadcast, which was Sunday Night Football. That's how many people were watching fucking television. And if you ignore football, the highest show in 2022-2023 was NCIS with 9.8 million.
That's crazy.
That's fucking nuts. That's nuts. So anyway, I just wanted to do that because I saw those numbers and like ratings are just so interesting now. And they were just so huge back then. 34.1 million for Seinfeld. Dude, Frasier was doing, let's look at the lower ones. Frasier was 14 doing 16.7 million.
Dude, and what'd you just say? NCIS would have been number one at 9 million.
NCIS is, yeah, like fictional, not football. 9.8 million.
And Frasier was low and it had almost double.
Yeah, I think the lowest, the 30th ranked TV show was a show called Hiller and Diller. I don't know what that is.
I'm looking it up now.
It aired from September 97 to March 1998. Hiller and Diller. It had 13.5 million. Still higher than NCIS, and it was 30th place.
Remember Shasta McNasty with Gary Busey's son?
I think about that all the time. I think about Hiller that.
Hiller and Diller was Kevin Nealon as Hiller and Richard Lewis as Diller. And Eugene Levy as Gordon Schermerhorn.
I think I'm all in on this.
I expect Hiller and Diller on the Plex tonight.
Hiller and Diller. This is fucking wild. 16 episodes, 4 unaired. Zane gets the pilot. Zane gets expelled from school, so Diller asks Hiller to help the boy get into school where Hiller's daughter goes.
If your last name was Hiller, would you associate with someone named Diller? Like, you just wouldn't, right?
I'd actually be so mad. I'd be so mad that there's somebody else with a fucking dumber name than me. Hiller and Diller. Anyway, so those are the ratings. I just wanted to talk about that. I thought that was interesting. So tons of people tuning into this grade A entertainment that we got here. So that's that. Now, one bit that you started last week, I want to make sure we don't forget the upgrade versus downgrade game.
Okay.
Let's
remind me.
Yeah. Let's, I totally forgot. Let's go through this again. We have an added cast member though. This episode, we have the tub lady, tub girl, if you will. If you want to yeah. Google tub girl, I suggest it, especially if you're on your parents' computer, just do it, or in public. Make sure you just Google tub girl. Turn off that filtered search. You'll definitely get the shiny. Anyway,
tub girl. We'll give him a 2 second grace period. Why was tub girl shitting into her face like that?
I mean, was it intentional? Well, I mean, obviously.
That was very much intentional.
But I don't know if it was intentionally in her face. I think, she angled it the right way? But like,
I think they just captured that by chance. Captured. By magic. Magic of the moment. The
magic of art. Some things just happen. Some things just happen. This is so hard. Dude, and fun fact, I mean, don't go look up tub girl, FYI. But we were looking at that at way too young of an age. Like, and it wasn't a sexual experience at all, obviously. It was just, like, horrifying to find out people do this. People take part in this. It was just, like, earth-shattering, really.
Could be your coworker. Or just unwinds. Sitting in a tub and shitting on her face.
So upgrades and downgrades. Actually, do we have to take a fucking break? I don't know. I'm all thrown off. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be back with Tub Girl. All right, we're back.
This is not an April Fool's episode. No, we are just as off topic, but we're
we're on topic. But again, How much happens in this? I mean, actually, I have,
well, that's the thing. I have a lot. Do you? Because, like I said, he just walks from room to room being like, fucking Danny.
It's true.
And, like, the things that he's mad about isn't even in the room that he's in. He just, like, remembers something that happened in the other room he just left. He's like, that fucking kid.
Listen, I hate it. I hate thinking of comparing a psychopathic Jack to your dad, but... there were just a couple moments that just like really stood out. One of them, like you're mentioning, like everything's cool. He smoothed everything over with Danny and Wendy at one point. He was mad. And then he goes up to the room because he's like, oh, Danny's having like a real like breakdown, right? Like he's just saw something horrifying. And they're like all on board. They're all like, yeah, this is fucked. Like something fucked up is happening here. And from the time Jack leaves that room and goes to the room that Danny was talking about, he's just been stewing on it the whole walk up. Because when he gets to the door, he's like, fucking Danny shouldn't even have been mad that he was more mad that he was up there and got haunted by a ghost than like terrified that there's a ghost in the house. More angry that he allowed this to happen. I told him not to go into this fucking room, fucking kid. But yeah.
All right. Upgrade, downgrade.
Upgrade, downgrade.
Upgrade, downgrade. Let's start with Jack.
Jack. I'm still... I can't blame him for the pace of the movie. So I'm gonna take that away. He is... fucking scary in a way different way than Jack Nicholson is, like too realistic almost, like
okay,
like genuinely like kind of hurt my fucking soul to watch him, like the way he treats Danny and Wendy in this.
I will agree with that because Jack is very much a horror character, yeah, in The Shining, or Jack Nicholson rather. In this one, he is just watching an asshole dad just be mean to his family, right? It's just a domestic dispute. You're like, well, you know, that is more realistically terrifying.
Yeah, it's like a real bummer, actually. Like by the end of the episode, I was like, oh, this like is not fun to watch. Like this is fucking sad.
Yes.
Like, I don't like this.
So, so I'll say neutral for that because
I'm staying neutral with it. I feel like I have to make a decision by 3, but right now I'm neutral.
It's Jack Nicholson, but right now I'll say neutral. Yeah. Let's go with Wendy. Upgrade or downgrade?
Wendy was hit or miss in this episode for me. I thought there were moments where she was great and I was like, oh man, I love this Wendy. And then there were moments that was just like kind of so-so. I still think she's an upgrade here.
I agree with everything you said. She was less of an upgrade in this episode for sure than she was the first time. There was times where, you know, she pretty much figured, like we find out it's not true, but she's pretty confident that her husband hit their son again. And she just goes into the other room with him and she's just like, well, what are we going to do? But after having like a breakdown, and she's like, first she's like, I'm going to fuck you. Her exact words are, I'll wait till you fall asleep and I'll fucking murder you. Like, that's awesome. What she says to him. Yeah, that's what she says to him. And then she goes to the next room and she's just like, so where do we go from here? It's like, just leave the house. Find a way to get out at this point. What are you doing? Snowstorm hadn't even started yet.
It was bizarre. And again, to your point, there was a lot of criticism of Wendy being, you know, not the strong-willed woman. And in this one, you're seeing the same issue here, which is literally he's doing awful shit to Danny. And every time she's kind of like, you motherfucker. And then 2 seconds later is like, I just love you so fucking much.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
All right. Upgrade, downgrade.
What about Danny? What about Danny?
Danny?
Yeah.
Danny is somehow less than he was last week. Danny makes me crazy in this show. He makes me
crazy. I would agree. Downgrade for me too. What about Tub Girl?
Okay, let's talk Tub Girl. I would say a hard downgrade.
Okay. Best part of the episode.
Best part of the episode, for sure. She wasn't bad, but it was a downgrade. The real question is, which tub girl you fucking?
Well, you see the tits on the first one, so.
Yeah, but the first one is also a mess. This one might actually make a little more sense too, because we're like, it's like, it's you know, this place's build is like a place for the stars, you know. I just watched actually the tub girl scene from the original just now because I was trying to find where this one ended. So I scanned by it. Boy, she is rough. This one looks like a starlet that, you know, killed herself in a bathtub. Just
decayed.
Yeah,
Kubrick's is way grosser.
Yeah. So points to the remake.
The Kubrick's has some bodacious bazongas.
Bodacious.
I got to think about it. Last upgrade downgrade.
Ooh.
But this one is an upgrade or a downgrade from episode 1. And it is the fire hose.
Wait. The fire hose is a downgrade in this one.
Yes, it is, because you don't get to see its Langolier teeth.
We didn't say that last one, but that is what I thought of when I saw it. I was like, I'm pretty sure this is the same CGI for the Langolier.
No doubt.
Just pasted on a fucking hose.
Did Mick do the Langoliers?
I don't know. He might have. Did he do the stand?
He did do the stand, that for sure, yeah.
Langoliers was so weird. Langoliers was so fucking weird. What was I going to say? Oh, another upgrade, downgrade. This is within the episode. An upgrade, downgrade from just episode 2 of The Shining. The topiaries at the beginning of the movie versus the topiaries at the end of the movie.
That is a downgrade. When they're coming alive, that is a downgrade.
I had a question in here. I'm just going to fucking do it now, though. No, I'll save it. I'll save it till we get there, I guess.
By the way, Mick did not do the Langoliers. That was Tom Holland.
Oh.
Who did Child's Play and Fright Night.
Oh, look at that. They got some good dudes making those movies in the 90s.
And then you get your hand on some King material, because he did Langoliers and he did Thinner. So I don't know. Know what happens.
Then it was rough. Well, let's get into this. Stephen King's The Shining. Now, was Stanley Kubrick's The Shining called Stanley Kubrick's The Shining? It was, right?
Like, it had his name in front of it?
Yeah. I feel like... No, maybe it didn't.
I don't think I ever saw that.
No, I don't think it did. Oh, okay. So he just threw Stephen King's on there to make a point.
Yeah, he's definitely making a point, separating it from Kubrick's.
And boy, is he separating himself. Just in case you were confused which one you're watching.
I wonder why Kubrick changed it to 213 in the room in 213, because this one's room 217.
Yeah, I don't know. Which one? I mean, I'm sure the book.
Or, I mean, not 213, room 237. I don't know why I said that. But this one, the book is room 217. This one's faithful to the book.
Oh, I wonder what that's about.
The moon landing, of course.
Well, he faked it for sure. We open at Jack's AA meeting while Wendy goes to the doctor. By the way, the greatest doctor
again.
Nicest guy.
But I was going to say, this, again, very realistic depressing.
Yeah. Because
the AA meeting is a fucking bummer.
The AA meeting is a bummer. And so is the doctor, really, because the doctor's like, hey, your son is fucking great. No signs of epilepsy. Gonna get him checked out anyway. And then he's like, but, you know, who the fuck broke Danny's arm?
Yeah.
Like, poor Wendy has to, like, explain this, and... It's a bummer. It's a fucking bummer. And then, like, the doctor's like, does he hit you too? Like, what the fuck? And then,
yes,
kind of is like, hey, maybe, you know, this Tony, imaginary Tony, is because you guys are getting better. He's getting rid of all these things or something. Anyway, nicest guy ever. We go back to the hotel. Jack finds a memory book from Horace Derwent. And we cut to that ragtime shit.
Yes.
Which now anytime I hear anything in that like ragtime era, all I can think about is Leroy from Curb Your Enthusiasm when he's talking about when women used to say boop boop be doop. It's like the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. I think about that way too often, but always when I hear like ragtime music. He's like, you know, when they used to say boop boop be doop. Larry's like, what the fuck are you saying? Boop boop be doop. We go to ragtime and we learn about the gangland murders that happened at the Overlook Hotel because the New York City Mafia, famous for traveling out to Colorado and murdering their rivals.
Yes.
Their territorial New York City rivals in Colorado. That's, they'll never suspect us. So that's, I guess, what am I trying to say? I guess that's the ghosts that we're dealing with here is the gangland era ghosts here.
Correct.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. Joe's having some health issues. He's dying.
I can't stop shitting.
I was trying to be vague about it, but
podcast life, baby.
Well, so if this is choppy,
hey, listen,
we're editing.
10 years. Listen, 10 years in, I haven't really had. That's a pretty good run.
That is a pretty good run. That is a pretty good run, and you're fighting through it. You're fighting through it.
I am.
So we're gonna get through this one way.
Very close to shitting my pants going up the stairs.
So we start this episode. I don't even know when this fucking movie starts, but we go to November 19th. Danny heads up to room 217, where Tony, his ghost friend, is like, "Hey man, don't fucking do that." And Danny's like, "No, I gotta show this ghost that I'm not scared." And he's like, "That's what's Dick told me to do." It's like, "Hey, this is not what Dick told you to do." Fun fact: Dick was like, "Stay the fuck away from everything."
And that was what Dick said. Yeah, he's like, "Please, like, don't ever confront it. Stay in your room, or leave if possible."
Oh, fucking idiot, Danny. But he tries to get into the room. He can't. It's locked. There's some cool moments there where he's trying to get into the room, and you see lights in the peephole and water coming from underneath it, but Danny can't get in, so he leaves. Danny hears more voices, which leads him to go get the second floor master key. And then he heads right back up. And by the way, now this is what we're talking about with this episode. This is a 15-minute segment of Danny doing this. And all that happens is he tries to open a door, can't, goes, gets a key, and then goes and opens the door. Fucking real time. We're watching somebody.
It was real time.
Somebody do this.
Again, probably the best part of the movie, which isn't really a best part of this episode, which isn't really a sell because we're both complaining about it right now. But
yeah.
The first time you see like something underneath the door coming, and there is a moment of suspense, but I agree with Sean. It's happening in real time. You feel it. Yeah,
And then Tony shows up and is like, "Hey, don't do that." And then Danny's like, "Oh!" And then stops. Oh, and also the hose moves and just pisses out blood. Like, just dribbles out blood.
Laughed out loud when we saw Tony because I forgot that you actually see Tony in this show and you see him again. Like, because he's the most... It's the most 1990s, like, idiot-looking kid.
Yes.
You know, like, the most generic 90s kid.
100%. Every time I see him, and I know I said this before, it's like a Disney...
That's right, yeah.
Like a genie from a Disney, made-for-Disney TV movie or whatever the fuck they're called. Like the hip young genie that's hot, and the gal likes him.
Which is nuts, because Tony would definitely have been a heartthrob in a Disney movie.
Yeah,
for sure. I can't stand the fucking sight of him.
Yeah, me either. I was trying to think of a men's rights joke for Danny, but I couldn't muster one up. Anyway, Jack catches Danny trying to return the key back to the office, and is one of the most terrifying moments of the two episodes so far. The way he is talking to him is outrageous, and I'm not sure he has even been like fully possessed by the fucking hotel yet.
Right.
Like, I think he's getting more irritable because of the hotel, but he's not like, this is what Stephen King didn't like about the original. And to me, it's actually more dramatic here, where you're like, is this just regular Jack or is this bad Jack? Like, I can't even really distinguish it, because the way he talks to Danny here, where he's just like, he's threatening him. He's acting insane. He's like, show me what's in your fucking hand. And he's like, you know what we do to kids like that? It's terrifying.
Yeah, and he keeps giving anecdotes about his dad, being like, those excuses didn't work on him, and he would beat the shit out of me, and I'm going to do it to you.
And then there's like this weird moment. And it ends it with, dude, that conversation ends with him basically being like, I want to kill you so badly. But then there's a moment after that where he's like, oh man, I've got a headache. It's the worst headache since. And then he like pauses because he's thinking about hangovers and shit. And you're like, oh, okay. Like he's coming to now. Like he's breaking. He's like, oh shit. Yeah, I'm acting crazy. And he's immediately, he's like, ugh. And then he's like, all right, got to get my head on straight. And then immediately he's like, so what do we do to rotten piece of shit children like you? And you're like, what the fuck? That is not what I expected. I thought he was like snapping out of it. And he really is like, oh, that was weird. Shaking off his headache. And then he's like, all right, deep back to the fucking beatings. Thank goodness I shook off that weird feeling.
Oh, you know what I wanted to ask you? Did you notice in the tub girl scene when she finally gets out, it's focused on her fucking feet for like 5 minutes? Do you think that was an active choice? Because he's like, well, we can't show the boobs on TV and we can't show the ass. So we'll have to appeal to some people.
We can't show the vagine. Yeah. I would think that. And they're disgusting. They're horrifying. But
if we could talk to Mick, that's the one question I would ask him.
More importantly, yes, Mick is second on my list about that scene. First is, I want to know from horror fans, which one of you got a foot fetish from watching this as a kid? Which one of y'all did this shape your sexuality? And now you have to fuck saran wrap feet.
Please admit that so we can block you in. Avoid all interaction.
No, we don't kink shame, Joe.
No, I totally do.
I do too, even myself, so trust me, it's fine. I was raised Catholic. We're not allowed to talk about this stuff. You just bury it deep down. Danny goes back to his mom, reveals that, because again, he can read his dad's mind, but whatever, reveals that Jack is no longer working on his plane, is now obsessed with the Overlook. And I don't know what Danny can dig in there except for anything he needs when he needs it. Imagine that. Imagine finding out your dad's like favorite Pornhub categories because you're like, you got The Shining. You like pass by him and you're like, oh fuck.
Oh God.
We got Red Rum. Red Rum's here. It makes a thing. And then Danny says a line that, honestly, I almost punched my television because I couldn't punch him. he says, made you look. Okay, we all know what was the old thing. Made you look. I don't know. There's a song to it, right? Made you look. There's like a song.
I don't remember.
Anyway, it rhymed. It made sense. Danny's song is Made You Look, Dirty Trick, Stole Your Mother's Pocketbook. Not a single fucking word rhyming in that fucking ditty. Fucking kill him. Anyway, we jump to December 8th, where, as Joe mentioned before, Jack is just walking room to room furious. We cut to December 8th, like a month later, and it just immediately is Jack being like, this fucking idiot kid leaving his toys all over the ground. Which is nuts because, you know, he's six and he's in an empty hotel with no friends.
And then at the end, a huge piece of machinery is ruined and it's outside. Like, you have to walk through the snow to get it, that like a grown adult struggled to get to. And he's like, fucking Danny, that piece of shit.
That is crazy. That that one is nuts. So excited to talk about. Because again, Wendy just ain't doing the job right here. Also, Wendy keeps trying to fuck Jack, and Jack is like, can't you see I'm busy working? And he's not. He's like, I got
it. Yeah. that's a huge downgrade because in the first one, Jack is legitimately busy trying to write.
Right? Yes.
And he's also busy being the caretaker. So yep. Like, he's overwhelmed. This one, the guy's just walking around doing.
He's carrying boxes around. He's like, what the fuck? And half the time, he's not even carrying boxes around. He's not caretaking at all. Fucking idiot. Which is funny because then they get into a fight, and Wendy's like, listen, not everything I say is an accusation about your drinking. And then she immediately accuses
him of drinking. Like, have you been drinking? Yeah.
She begs them to leave, and they won't because Jack says, and I quote, we'll just end up picking grapes and lettuce in California. Don't know what that means. The guy's from of Mice and Men. Or no, is that the one in the Dust Bowl? Yeah, there's a Dust Bowl.
No. What that's Grapes of Wrath.
Grapes of Wrath.
Same author.
So all right. And Jack starts saying fucking insane shit, like he was meant to be there, his whole life has been leading up to this, and he is working on this book about all the things that happened here, because Greta Garbo stayed there once. Dude, that would actually be it for me, if I were Wendy. I'd be like, you know what, okay, write a fucking book about a hotel Greta Garbo stayed in once. I'm fucking leaving. That's enough. That's a wrap. You're a fucking moron. A book about Greta Garbo's hotel room.
Stayed there once.
This is a gold mine. All right. I've
fucking Bimmy.
Truly. Truly. Well, Jack goes outside and he is singing Heartbreak Hotel while swinging on a children's swing set. Again, a scene. We could cut this.
We could. But he gets beat up by the swing set. But I wanted to say another downgrade for this. Kubrick's Shining, Jack walks around with a baseball bat, and it's menacing.
It is.
This one, he walks around with a croquet mallet. I'm sorry. It's not. You're so fucking goofy. I know that will hurt. I know that will hurt getting hit with.
No, so here's my thing, and I think you're right. I like the look of a mallet, but that fucking the head of that mallet's coming off after one blow.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you just left with a stick.
Just him with his, like, because he has a smaller frame than Jack.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that build. He is not. It's not doing it for me to see him walk around with a mallet.
No, it doesn't work. Or they should have made the mallet look a little bit more intimidating, but it honestly looks like it's about to fucking fall apart. It's like rotted wood.
Right.
Ridiculous. Well, he notices the snow is falling off the topiaries. That's when he finds the huge croquet mallet. We keep getting some flashbacks of parties, but anyway, everything starts moving. Jack is fully experiencing a haunted event. Swings are moving, seesaws are moving, the topiaries are moving, and anytime he looks away from them and looks back, they are closer and they are following him. Is this, and we'll talk about this later when the topiaries move again, is this terrible special effects or good special effects? And I ask that because there's zero special effects used in this moment with the topiaries. They're just still shots of topiaries that they are moving around in between. Is it genius or is it terrible?
If I'm being honest, I'd prefer that to bad CGI. Like I like that better than the hose with the teeth.
If you were going to stick with this throughout the movie, that would have been fine. I wouldn't have loved it, but it's whatever. It is what it is. Because then, you know, that even still suspends the whole, like, is it in his head? Is it that hotel? Like, we're still there, right? We're still in that frame, which is fun. I like that. Don't worry, guys. It'll get worse. we go to December 20th. And I had a note here where I was like, I'm curious about the pace of this movie. Because we have, at this point, we have 45 minutes left. And there's another hour and a half episode after this. I was like, what is going to happen here? Because it feels like the wheels are coming off in the story, right? It feels like we're really ramping up pretty quickly to Jack losing his fucking mind. And so it was just very odd. So actually, let us take a quick break and we'll be right back. Where are we here? We're at December 20th. Jack hears his dad talking on the CB. And it's weird because this is Jack fully losing it. He's listening to his dead father talk to him on the CB, being like, you're a piece of shit.
And arguing to his dead father, arguing with his dead father on the CB.
Right. So he's lost.
About him being dead.
About him being dead. And really, right, this is the moment for the first time where he doesn't want to abuse Danny. And this is when he's in the throes of being haunted. And because the dad's like, you better go up there and fucking kill that kid. He's up in the room. And for the first time, Jack is like, oh, you can't tell me what to do. I wouldn't do that. And then when he comes to, he's like, I'm going to kill that fucking kid.
Which is funny because, like, you said this earlier. I don't think this is like showing us this is when it's happening. So everything that he was doing before was just him just being an asshole.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's fucking weird because he smashes the CB here, right? He smashes the CB. And when he comes to, he's like, I didn't fucking smash the CB. That was Danny. So like in those moments is when he is like, when he's gone, when the house is taken over, like, so when he comes to, that's when he's like, that little fucking bastard. I can't wait to fucking kill him. So like Danny should be like, we need to stay here. We need to stay in this house forever. So my dad doesn't fucking kill me. Cause he's so much happier when he's haunted. I don't know what Danny's plan is here, but he goes up to room 7217 and he's singing Old MacDonald for some reason, which they mention he's 7 years old. I have a 7 year old. They kind of grow out of just walking around singing Old MacDonald at seven. Just, you know.
Wait, is James only seven?
Oh, I had a 7 year old.
Had a seven. I was just about to be so alarmed. Like, can't be true.
Benjamin Button. he's not seven.
Dude, honestly, this like threw me for a fucking loop. I was doing the math of my kids. I was like,
how is this possible? Well, we finally get Bathtub Lady. She says, hello, Danny. I've been waiting for you. We've all been waiting for you.
We haven't got to her yet.
No.
Talking about her so extensively.
No, I know. It's so crazy. That's what I'm saying. The whole episode is really like three events. It's like Jack being mad, Bathtub Lady, and that's kind of it. And then
so two events,
and I'll throw in like the concept of them wrestling with the idea that the house, there's something going on in the house.
Yeah.
But it is an hour and a half of circling those things over and over and over again. And it's not great. It's not great. Danny escapes her, but then is pulled back in, as you mentioned, to the room. And then that's when Jack comes to and notices the missing key and is convinced Danny smashed the radio with the mallet. And love to have normal, non-possessed Jack back about to beat his son to death with a mallet. For taking a key. Thankfully, Wendy wakes up, though, and is like, what the fuck is happening? And she's like, hey, are you sure that 7-year-old broke a CB radio? And Jack has the wherewithal to say, does the Pope wear a tall hat? I like that line.
That's good. Is it something Gregory would say?
That is a Gregory. That is a Gregory. Did you,
that saying that does a bear shit in the woods? Like nobody in real life actually says that except for him. He's the only person him that thinks it's grandpa. A clever line. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like that was probably a clever line in the 1920s, right?
Jack refuses to believe that he smashed it. And when Danny shows up with, I don't know. I'll be honest. Danny looks exactly the same as he always does.
He's got marks on his neck. Oh. He's got marks on his neck.
Well, I'm colorblind. Maybe I missed it, but it was weird because I just saw the same idiot kid I've seen all movie. And Wendy's like, holy shit, look what you did to him. She just never noticed his face was always like that.
His mouth. What'd you do to his mouth?
And this is really when it gets like really gnarly with like the domestic abuse stuff, and you're just like, whew, man. And the fights that Wendy and Jack are having are brutal, and it's not fun.
I wanted to say, like, I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that was normal, but I feel like arguments between parents and households like that was a more common thing in the 90s. Cause like, I remember talking to people that's like, my parents just scream at each other all the time. You know, that's like, what they just come over work and just yell at each other.
92 like, dad mad.
Dude. Like that was for some reason like that. I could never do that. Like,
oh, dude,
how could you?
I'd be so embarrassed. I would.
I'd be so yes.
I would never let them see, dude. 92 dad man. I mean, given dad's a bad rap. I mean, dads were really fucking mad in 92, but moms were just as fucking. My mom was fucking screaming at my dad sometimes, and I'd be like, oh
yeah, parents. Yeah, that's how they like. Could you? I just couldn't imagine working all day and coming home. And that's how I unwind, just screaming at Tina's face about something.
Dude, that is my favorite point I think maybe ever made on this show. Because to me, fighting is so fucking exhausting. Like,
it is.
I can't even, like, even if I'm, like, in a bad mood and I'm, like, not fighting, but, like, just, like, I'm just fucking cranky, the last thing I want to do is fight. So, like, if something comes up, I'm like, I can't even fucking deal with this right now. Like, I'm just going to go lay down.
Yeah, dude, if you want to argue with me, you've won. Like, I don't have time for that. Maybe the advent of social media has taken away from people just screaming at each other in their households. Because now all people do all day. Like, human beings aren't made to argue all day long. And now that's all people do is argue with each other. From the second they wake up, they're just like, I'm just going to go fight with this fucking loser, you know? Like, but before they had that, you didn't have that luxury to just fight with somebody.
You just got to scream.
Kosovo. You just had to scream at your spouse.
Scream at the people you love the most.
Yeah. It's fucking nuts.
Oh, fuck. It's fucking wild. Well, it's tough to watch. It's tough to watch now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Jack turns into dad of the year somehow. I don't know. But anyway, they all sit down.
Yeah, Danny runs to him. Danny runs to Jack.
Yeah, in the most bizarre way, by the way, because he's like, "Leave! Don't let her touch me, Daddy!" And runs.
Well,
away
he sees
the mom.
He sees Tub Lady.
In that moment, he sees her.
Yeah, Tub Lady standing next to the mom.
Oh shit! Okay, I didn't notice that. But anyway, so they talk to Danny. The whole thing's fucking bad. It's all really bad. And Wendy is finally like, we've got to get out of here. Like, this place is bad. Everything bad that happened here is still here. Like, it's all still here. And Danny says, if we don't go soon, we might not be able to go at all. So Jack is like, all right, I'm going to go check out 217. And that's when he gets up there and is immediately mad at Danny again. And he goes in and he finds lipstick in the cabinet, which, by the way, that's the end. That is the end for me. If I find it, because they knew Danny had lipstick on his cheek, that's on his cheek, yeah. I'm fucking done. But he ends up seeing some wet footprints, turns around, and Tub Lady's in the tub. He doesn't see Tub Lady yet. And he runs so fucking fast. It's actually a fucking hilarious scene, given that he's such a fucking asshole. And then he gets out of the room. He literally just saw everything he needs to see. Gets out of the room and is like, that fucking Danny idiot. Immediately furious. Dude, he goes downstairs and he's like, time to talk to that little fucking idiot again. Like, he's so mad. He's so mad. And they get into another fight that's brutal. And Danny's like, I hate you both. But Jack is like, listen, we're stuck. We're stuck here. And she's like, what about the snowmobile? And he's like, that's a great idea. And then he goes to look at it. He sees a card that's like, you can't abandon your post. I imagine this is a figment of his imagination. Yeah. Next time we see him, he comes in and is like, hey, just went out there, check that snowmobile. It's smashed to shit. I think Danny did it. And she's like, hey, that seems weird. But Jack uses The Shining as the evidence. He's like,
yes, when Danny was a kid, if he was hungry, things would get tipped over, things would break, things would get knocked off shelves.
But again, this all is like so weird because they deny it and then they're like, they use it. It's so weird. And we also saw him smash a backboard in a basketball game. So,
yes,
possible.
Yeah, it's not the most unreasonable conclusion.
But it is, because the rest of the movie, they're like, he can't do fucking anything.
Well, they're going, this is my favorite scene of Jack, because they confront him, and Danny's trying to talk, like trying to give an answer, and Jack is kneeling down, just being like, oh, do, like right in his face, mocking the way that he's talking.
I can't tell if I love this Jack or hate this Jack. It just reminds me of home, I guess. It's just good feelings, good memories. Good memories. All right. Oh my God. Wait, I forgot. This is one of the worst scenes. December 29th, we cut to. By the way, they're talking about maybe getting a forest ranger who will come by. They can get help and blah, blah, blah. But they don't expect to see anyone until at least New Year's, maybe later. December 29th, we see Danny playing outside. He begins singing a made-up song that is one of the most infuriating things I ever had to listen to. And the fact that it goes on for two verses puts Mick Garris on my... I don't want to talk poorly because I want to interview him. I want to talk to him. So I'm not going to say anything bad. But Mick, the fuck was this? The fuck was this? I like snow. It's such a beautiful thing. Listen, at 7, I could fucking rhyme. Let's just... I don't know why this kid's incapable of it. Wendy's playing, Danny's playing. Topiaries are moving. Wendy is hearing shit inside. And Wendy follows a croquet ball that lures her into the manager's office and locks her in. And Jack is in the basement just having a grand old time, just cracking himself up down there, looking at paperwork. And while this is happening, Danny is surrounded by topiaries, and they are now CGI'd.
Yeah.
And they are not
97 good. CGI.
They are not good. Maybe that's why our dads were so mad. Imagine going to every movie and they were trying to use CGI and they're like, God damn it.
My dad's never been to the movies once.
Well, he did see twice. The Passion of the Christ.
He did. His favorite movie of all time.
Almost turned the car around. Was that movie? Was that the one where he like threatened you guys to go home?
Wait.
Refresh my memory.
I'm trying to remember the story too. I think you're in a car full of people. You were doing something. You were going to the movies. You guys were so excited. And your dad was like, I'm turning the fucking car around.
Oh no. It was Jurassic Park, dude. He did turn the car around. It wasn't because anybody did anything wrong. We went to the movies and it was like an early screening that he knew somebody that worked at the theater. So they gave us like a ticket. So it was like a huge deal. And it was in Stanford, which is an hour drive from where our house was. And there was a tractor trailer accident. So we were stuck in traffic. I think it was upwards like 2.5 hours. Like everything was shut down. Nothing moved. Like people were getting out of the, I remember people getting out of the car and like throwing footballs around on the side of the road. Cause there's nothing, there's nobody moving.
Oh shit.
And we finally got there. And my dad's like, by the time the movie ends, and by the time we make the commute back, you'll be late for football practice. So he's like, we can't do this. So he just turned the car around. And we just drove back home. So it was like a 5.5 hour trip to just go pull into a parking lot and turn back around. Also, keep in mind, I was like fucking 7. So missing football practice would have meant it was like flag football at that point.
Yeah.
Asshole. Fucking guy. It's like, it's the principle of it.
Gotta keep your commitments to flag.
And I had friends in the car too, so they had to explain to their parents. Like, how would you do that? Like,
could you imagine that? Could you imagine your kid coming home being like, how was the movie? And then being like,
I'd be like, you're never going there again. Never getting in a car with them.
Go. And then be like, wait, you didn't go? Where did you go? Be like, oh no, we went to the theater and then we turned around. And then you'd be like, well, why did it take you 5.5 hours to do that? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. That was something.
Oh, boy. That was something. And so is the Shining miniseries. I'm hopeful for this last episode.
Yeah. I think this episode was a step down, but I don't hate the miniseries.
No,
by any means.
I think they just overextended the time. I think they really fucking.
Yeah.
This is 3 hours. Bing, bang, boom. You could have done it. But instead, we're on hour 3.
Correct.
All right. What's that? We're going to let Joe go. Be sick.
I'm feeling better now. I do. All right. Only ruined the episode, but now I feel good.
Just in time for the end.
Just
no, it was fine. It didn't ruin the episode. It's totally fine. It's totally good. So we got part 3 coming up. We got the Stannies coming up in
May.
Are we doing it in May? Are we skipping April? Or are we? Dude, I can't even keep track. Oh yeah.
Yeah, because remember we're not doing because you're traveling too.
This is all because of. Are recording. I don't even know what's happening. I like literally don't know what day. This is crazy. Anyway, okay. So Stannies are in May. No live show. We'll do something fun though. I'll do something fun. Joe will do something fun. We'll do something. You did a Easter live show.
Yeah, I didn't even put it on Patreon. So I started watching Beaster Day and I made it 20 minutes in and I was like, look. I put it on Instagram. I was like, if anybody wants to join, like, I'm not posting this anywhere. Like, just join me. I need at least, like, one person to fucking watch this with me because this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Like, I don't know. Like, 20 people ended up jumping on, but I didn't put it on Patreon because it was just so last minute. But I'll do another live stream this month.
No, yeah. It's cool. I put up the recording
I saw on
Patreon. So that's available now if you guys want to watch it.
Post. Watch Beaster Day. Fucking
Joe, it looks insane. Downloaded it, so like I saw like just a few things as I scrolled through it. And the first thing I see are just fucking huge titties. Just
oh, you get yabs in that movie. And the ending is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. I would watch it again tonight, to be honest.
Beaster Day. That title is like so far from being good, it's crazy. It's a terrible title. Man. All right. That's it. The Shining, the miniseries. part three coming up. I don't know what we're gonna do after this.
What about the movie I sent you?
Oh yeah, we should do that. What was it called?
I don't know.
Yeah, we should do that. Whatever that was. Well, that's what we'll be doing in a couple weeks, folks. So tune in.
Get ready. I don't even remember the plot anymore. There's no way I'll ever find it.
Dude, not in our chain. No, it's no. It'll be bad. All right. My mouse isn't working. All right. Everyone, thank you all so much. We got some big news coming down the pipeline. We're booking shows, hopefully, very soon. Waiting to hear back from all of your favorite venues that you guys so kindly recommended to us. So we'll keep you posted on that and dates very soon. And some other big news coming down the pipe for the show. Pipe.
Very exciting.
Pipe. Okay. Remember when pipe became like a term for like sex? That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah. It's not anymore?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's come and gone, but perhaps
I still say it.
Okay. Laying pipe. It's back, baby. All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much. If you want to join us, patreon.com/IHateHorror. If you want to support the show, head on over there. We do lots of fun little bonus episodes, the live shows. Joe's doing his live videos.
Yeah, I'm a little behind on that. So I'll just say, like, the next couple weeks with work-wise, I have a pretty crazy schedule. So just bear with me. I'll get more up there.
There you have it, folks. I'm gonna try and do some stuff, too. I just, like, I always, like, want to do it. I need to just do it. And instead, I'm like, well, I need to do this, this, and this if I'm going to do it right. And I'm just like, just go fucking record it. Like, just... And instead, I overthink it. Dude, I watched almost everything that everyone recommended for, like, the top movies of 2023. I watched almost all of them. I could do it. And instead, I'm going to wait until I forgot everything about all of them and then be like... Also, most of them are not great.
Please just do that for like a 30-minute video.
So, tune in for that, baby. All right. Everyone, thank you all so much. Patreon.com/IHateHorror. IHateHorror.com and Instagram @IHateHorror. Joe, where can they find you?
Instagram, Boognish1985.
And that is a wrap, everyone. Thank you all so much. Thanks to Joe. And for Joe, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios. I'm fucking zombie getting sliced and diced.